Hello, this is Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, February the 17th. And I'll start with the first article that has the headlines. New Health Network works to fill gaps. The group's goal is to align resources of agencies that help others. Dateline Danville. A new group, the Community Health Network, is working to identify the top two actions that need to be addressed in Vermilion County. The group will be meeting to discuss creating a real-time community-wide database that every organization, church, and ministry will have access to, and mapping the assets in the community to see if there are enough services to meet the needs in certain neighborhoods. These goals were identified at a recent meeting attended by 65 people representing churches, agencies, and social service organizations. In October, a workshop called A Better Way attracted about 55 people to address the questions. Is there a better way to help people in our communities who are living at or below poverty level? Are we treating them with value and dignity or just perpetuating a problem? The recent follow-up meeting asked, what does a healthy community look like? What are the hopes and dreams for the community? Community Health Network looks at the community as a whole and identifies the needs and works to fill the gaps, said Ashton Greer, Senior Program Coordinator with Faith in Action in Danville. The goal is to better align the resources and work together with all agencies. The group does not want to duplicate efforts of the Vermilion County Health Department, which has developed work groups for substance abuse, obesity, teen pregnancy, and mental health. Thus, different action items were chosen, and the committees will be appointed to study those. In one goal, the group would create a real-time community-wide database that every organization, church, and ministry would have access to. The general public, however, will not be able to access the database. All efforts will be made to ensure HIPAA compliance and confidentiality. This will open the pathways of communication among agencies, eliminate duplication of services, and also identify the repeated requests within the community, Greer said. For example, if a person visits a certain ministry for money one day and then visits a different ministry for money the next day, that will have been recorded in the database that participating groups will have access to. If the organizations and agencies are consistent in using and updating their services to individuals, it is possible to have a reliable record of who is receiving which services within our community and how frequently. The hope is to help individuals thrive, not just survive, Greer said. The second goal of thoroughly asset mapping the community ties in with the community-wide database. As the assets are mapped, each identified organization can gain access to the database, making it more accurate and effective. This could also be used to identify which needs are most prevalent in specific neighborhoods and assess if there are sufficient services in those neighborhoods to address the need. By asset mapping, we will know what Vermilion County is lacking and what we may have too much of as well, so we can begin to build upon what we already have established, filling gaps as they are identified, Greer said. As the Community Health Network meetings continue, the goals of the group will evolve and grow, Greer said, in an effort to give people a head up, not a handout. Faith in Action, in partnership with the Chalmers Foundation, will offer a Faith and Finances class this fall. Presenters will get training in late spring in Bloomington. Nathan Lindstra, associate pastor with Connection Church, will help teach the classes, which will address topics such as job preparation and understanding money management. All classes will be based on the Bible and God's perspective on money. Local churches will refer people, and the program will be geared toward low income. With a better understanding of finances, Lindstra said, people can be set on a better trajectory for life. The goal is to eliminate chronic needs by teaching people how to help themselves and to give them the tools they need to do so. According to the United States Census Bureau, 19% of Vermilion County residents live below the poverty level compared to 13.6% statewide. At the October workshop, participants learned that providing the needy with clothing and food is a band-aid that doesn't address the underlying issues. The premise for the workshop was based on Robert Lupton's book, Toxic Charity, which says mercy ministry alone is insufficient. And now a short article with the title, Special Events Honor Black History. And it's Dateline Danville. Danville Area Community College will host two special events commemorating Black History Month. Both are free and open to the public. The first is a panel discussion called Growing Up Black in America at 11 a.m. February 27th at Brenner Theater. It will be facilitated by Tanisha Shade, the Economic Development Director at Vermilion Advantage. The second is a performance by two gospel choirs from 6 to 8 p.m. February the 28th at the theater. It will feature Saints Synagogue Church in Christ Youth Voices of Praise, directed by Sonia Tyler, and the New Jerusalem Choir, directed by Roy Cummings and featuring P.J. Bourne. Photo displays of famous African-American military veterans, the history of slavery in America, and I Have a Dream posters, in which students can write in their own dreams for the future, are also on display at the college this month. And the second of these short articles has the headline, Discussion on Inclusive Society Set. Dateline Danville. The Danville Public Library today will kick off a free discussion series aimed at building an inclusive society. The first discussion will begin at 4 p.m. in the first floor meeting room of the library, 319 North Vermilion Street. The topic, Islam, Faith and Practice in America, will be presented by Zaiba Ahmed of the Danville Masjid and Community Center. Discussions will continue over the next 2 months. March's topic is Immigration and Refugees, and April's is Inclusion, Redefining American Identity. Local discussions are part of a statewide dialogue series that aims to bring high schools, universities, and their communities together for conversations on pressing global issues that have no borders. The series was started by Letitia Swickert of Naperville High School, Jeremy Smith at the University of Illinois Center for Global Studies, and in Danville, Susie Burkus. All are members of the K-12 Education Advisor to the U of I's International Outreach Council. And the next article has the headline, Books and Basketball, Youngsters Enjoy Visit from DHS Team. Dateline Tilton. A group of pre-kindergartners watched excitedly Thursday morning at the Danville High School boys basketball team ran back and forth across the Southwest Elementary School gym and showed off their hoop skills. Each time the basketball was dunked or the hoop was made from down court, a sea of hands extended into the air to cheer on the basketball players. The 3-year-olds to 5-year-olds also lined up to take turns tossing or bouncing a basketball to a Vikings basketball player. Before gathering in the gym for the riveting basketball shootout, youngsters listened with rapt attention to the story being read to them by one of the basketball players in their classroom. For DHS Junior Kendall Moore, the experience Thursday morning with the pre-kindergarten children reinforced his career aspirations. "I think I want to be a teacher, either grade school or middle school," he said. Daylon Davis Williams, another DHS junior, enthused that he really enjoyed the morning. He read a book about fireflies to the children. "They told me one little boy never cooperates, but he cooperated when I showed up," Daylon said. "I enjoyed playing with them, and I think they enjoyed playing with me," he said. And to another article with the headline, Schools Compete in Spelling Bee. Students from junior high and middle schools across Vermilion County will face off this month to see which team is V-I-C-T-O-R-I-O-U-S in spelling the most words correctly. But first, student teams from each of the 10 participating schools will demonstrate their spelling abilities during two sectional competitions at 1 p.m. Tuesday, February 21st, one hosted by Salt Fork South Junior High School and the other by Rossville Alvin Junior High School. Assistant Regional Superintendent Mark Janeski said the number of schools participating in this year's countywide spelling bee is similar to last year. During the sectional competitions on February 21st, teams of four students plus alternates from Armstrong, Ellis, Bismarck Junior High, Hoopston's John Greer School, Rossville Alvin Junior High School, and Schlarman Academy will compete against one another at Rossville Alvin. Teams of four plus alternates from Mary Miller Junior High School in Georgetown, Northridge Middle School in Danville, Oakwood Junior High School, Salt Fork South Junior High School, and Westville Junior High also will face off in a separate competition on February 21st at Salt Fork South in Jamaica. Each of the four spellers per school will be asked to spell 15 words during the sectional competition and 18 words during the Spelling Bee final, Janeski said. The words the students are asked to spell come from a packet of nearly 3,000 words that the Vermilion County Regional Office of Education has had for years. The participating schools received the packet of words in November so teachers could practice spelling the words with their students in the classroom. It's a list we've had forever, Janeski said. There's page after page of lists, 32 lists altogether, and each page has 92 words per list. The lists start out with easier words, such as cricket, and then transition to harder words by the end of the list, such as rambunctious and blasphemy, he said. With that many lists and that many words, there is no way of knowing what words the students will be asked to spell. The top two school teams from each sectional competition will advance to the 2017 Spelling Bee Finals, sponsored by the Vermilion County Regional Office of Education. The Spelling Bee Finals, which have a tradition in the county for a long time, will start at 6 p.m. February 23rd in room 306 of Vermilion Hall at DACC. Jane Creason, a retired English instructor from DACC, is the Spelling Bee's longtime pronouncer and will be joined by four officials and two scorers who will act as judges during the competition. Janeski commented about the number of supportive parents who attend the Spelling Bee Finals. They usually will fill the room, he said. The top two school teams that have spelled the most words correctly will receive first and second place plaques for their school. Individual medallions also will be awarded to the first and second place students who spelled the most words correctly. Students coming in third and fourth place will receive individual ribbons of participation. Last year, Danville's Northridge Middle School finished first by correctly spelling 63 of 72 words. Schlarman Academy and Westville Junior High initially tied with 61 words spelled correctly, and Danville Lutheran Schools placed fourth with 57 words spelled correctly. In 2015, the Oakwood Junior High spellers upset Rossville Alvin's two-year winning streak by correctly spelling 68 of 72 words. Westville Junior High School placed second with 56 words spelled correctly. We've had some close ones. Sometimes it will come down to the last word, Janeski said. What I like is that we've had three different winners over the last 3 years. And the next article has the headline, Terre Haute Casino Bill Dies in Committee. Terre Haute, Indiana. A pair of fives dealt a fatal blow to efforts to locate a casino in Terre Haute. The 5-5 vote Wednesday of the 10-member Indiana Senate Public Policy Committee means Senator John Ford's Senate Bill 354 stalls in committee. That's it for this session, said Ford, Republican of Terre Haute. Ford said the heart of his bill, letting Rising Star Casino in Rising Star transfer nearly 750 unused gaming positions to Terre Haute, is just too big of an issue to keep it alive as an amendment to another bill. You got to respect the committee and the process, Ford said. That process took just 56 days from Ford's Christmas week announcement that he would introduce the legislation until Wednesday's vote. While most community leaders quickly rallied behind the measure, there was some grassroots opposition. Last week, 60 people attending a presentation by an opponent of government-sanctioned gambling, and more than 20 people spoke out against the facility at a city council meeting. In the end, it was concerns about the impact on other communities that killed the proposal. Like the Indiana casino industry in general, gaming volume has fallen at Rising Star in the face of competition from a newly authorized casino in Cincinnati and the expansion of video gaming in Illinois. Full House Resorts had hoped to attract business from a part of Indiana viewed as underserved by casinos and from neighboring Illinois. The company had said a Terre Haute casino would have created 750 direct jobs and 500 indirect jobs and provide $10 million of tax revenue to the city and Vigo County. I haven't seen enough facts to look you in the eye and say that is that good public policy for the state, or is it bad public policy for the state? Committee Chairman Ron Alting, Republican of Lafayette, said. Tim Linane, Democrat of Anderson, cited an Indiana Legislative Services and Agency analysis that estimated 43% of revenue at a Terre Haute casino would come from existing gaming operations in Anderson, Shelbyville, Evansville, and French Lick. He said the bill also provided special treatment for a Terre Haute casino on licensing fees and taxes. The last thing I want to do is to vote for a bill that I know very well could result in the layoff of people at the casino in my district, he said. Vanetta Becker, a Democrat of Evansville, said Tropicana played by existing rules when it invested $50 million in a new land-based casino in her city. She said the legislation would have created a very unfair advantage for a new casino in Terre Haute. Alting, Linane, and Becker voted against the bill along with Jack Sandlin, Republican of Indianapolis, and Greg Taylor, Democrat of Indianapolis. Joining Ford in supporting the bill were Ron Grooms, Republican of Jeffersonville, James Merritt, Republican of Indianapolis, Mark Mesmer, Republican of Jasper, and Lonnie Randolph, Democrat of East Chicago. Recalling his own community's efforts to establish casinos in the 1990s to boost the local economy, Randolph suggested passage of the precedent-setting bill might offer hope for other cities and towns that might benefit from satellite gaming facilities or other innovative economic development tools. Groom said he supported the bill because it would have activated 740 idle gaming positions and mean a net boost to the state's economy. Despite the outcome, Terre Haute's efforts won praise from committee members on both sides of the issue for the strong show of support community leaders brought to Indianapolis. An outstanding job, Alting said. The good part about it is the community came together, and hopefully we can keep this momentum going and maybe have discussion about more economic development and what we can do in Terre Haute to foster that, said Ford. That's something we can all be proud of, said Terre Haute City Council President Karum Nasser. This marks the second failed effort by Full House to establish a satellite casino, a proposal for a site at the former Indianapolis International Airport was rejected in 2015. And the next article has the headline, ARC to install free smoke alarms. The American Red Cross and Vermilion County Emergency Management Agency are teaming up to install free smoke alarms in Danville on Saturday, March 11th. Volunteers will install free smoke alarms, share home fire safety information, and help residents create a home fire escape plan. Free smoke alarms will be installed by appointment from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on March 11th. To make an appointment, Danville residents can text the word ALARM to 844-811-0100. Visit getasmokealarmalloneword.org or call the Red Cross at 844-319-6560, extension 9. There is no charge for the smoke alarms or the installation. This event is part of the American Red Cross Home Fire Campaign, which aims to reduce home fire injuries and deaths by 25%. The event is also part of the American Red Cross Central and Southern Illinois Centennial Celebration. Volunteers are needed for this installation event. If you would like to volunteer, please contact laura.stride, S-T-R-E-I-D, at redcross.org. Even as the Red Cross and other groups install smoke alarms in some neighborhoods, they are calling on everyone to take two simple steps that can save lives. Check their existing fire alarms, smoke alarms, and practice fire drills at home. To learn more, visit redcross.org/CSIL-homefire. And now for the obituaries. And the first is for Lloyd Bond, 86, of Danville, who died on February 14th at 2 p.m. at Presence USMC in Danville. Gravesite services will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, February 21st at Danville National Cemetery with military honors. Pape Family Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. And the next is for Rauchbach. That's Rauchbach. Her first name is Harriet, 92, of Danville, who died on February 15th at her home in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home in Danville has been entrusted with cremation services. And Georgetown, a man from Georgetown by the name of Robert Lynn Stephen, who died, service is at 4 p.m. this Sunday at the funeral home. I'm sorry, I don't have the name of the funeral home. As per his wishes, I'm reading this from two different places. Okay. Robert Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, 72, of Georgetown, died on Wednesday, February 15th at home. Funeral services will be at 4 p.m. Sunday at Sunset's Holton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, with Pastor Ramey Gordon officiating. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday at the funeral home. And the next is for Bernica Thompson, 89, of Georgetown, who died on Wednesday, February 15th at North Logan Healthcare Center. Arrangements are incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home. And the next is for Lyle Markwalder, 76, of Potomac, who died on February 15th at Heritage Health Center. Arrangements are pending with Sunset Funeral Home. And the next is for Mary Dora Pollock, 62, of Springfield, Missouri, and formerly of Danville, who died on Wednesday, February 15th in Springfield, Missouri. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Tuesday, February the 21st at Pate Family Funeral Home. Graveside services will be at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, February the 22nd at Oak Hill Cemetery. And the next is for Carrie Spicer. Carrie Spicer of Westville died on Tuesday at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center, Danville, due to medical complications. A celebration of Carrie's life will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, February 18th at Sunset Urbis Funeral Chapel, 414 South State Street in Westville, with services to be directed by Pastor John Myers of Georgetown's Friends Church and grandson Pastor Justin Brooks Reese of Christian Life Church in Delavan, Wisconsin. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday prior to his services at the funeral home. And the next is for Melvin Freed, 83, of Danville, who died on February 13th at North Logan Healthcare. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, February 18th, that's tomorrow, at Pape Family Funeral Home, with a prayer service followed at 1 p.m., officiated by Father Loftus. Following services, Melvin will be entombed at Resurrection Catholic Mausoleum. And the next is for Juno Lee Mulholland, 81, of Westville, who passed away on Tuesday, February the 14th, at her home. Mass of Christian burial will be held Saturday, February the 18th, that's tomorrow, at 11 a.m. at St. Mary's Catholic Church, 231 North State Street, Westville. Father Timothy Saup will officiate. She will be laid to rest at Saints Peter and Paul Cemetery in Westville. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the service at the church. The family requests in lieu of flowers memorials be made to St. Mary's Altar and Rosary Society. The next is for Ethel Pearl Martin, 89, of Danville, who died on Sunday, February the 12th, at home. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Monday, February the 20th, at Sunset Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. until service time. Private burial services will be at Sunset Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Cross Point Domestic Violence and Transition Shelter Program, 201 North Hazel Street, Danville. And the next is for James Nolan Stacker, quote-unquote Jimmy, 65, of Colorado Springs, who died on Wednesday, February the 1st. James was born in Danville. In remembrance of Jimmy, a memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Monday, February 20th, at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832. And the next is from Attica, Indiana, for Robert L. Tillotson, 89, who lived at Williamsport Health and Rehabilitation Center, who died at IU Health Arnett Hospital, Lafayette, on Wednesday, February 15th. Friends may call at Mouse Funeral Home, Attica, on Sunday, February 19th, from 2 to 5 p.m. Services will be held at the funeral home on Monday, February 20th, at 11 a.m., with the Reverend Tom Hunter officiating. Burial with military honors will be held in Riverside Cemetery, Attica. Memorial contributions may be made to the Attica Community Foundation. And the next is from Oakwood for David Jonathan Tables, who died on February 13th, 2017. Funeral will be at 10 a.m. on Monday, February 20th, at the Rock Church in Danville with Pastor Jeff Johns officiating. Visitation will be 2 to 6 p.m. on Sunday, February 9th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. And now we start on a column called Community Briefs. And in Danville. And the first brief has the title, Learn About Mushrooms. Susan Biggs Warner with the Vermilion County Conservation District will explain how to grow shiitake mushrooms during a program at 6 p.m. Tuesday at the Danville Public Library. There is no cost. She also will have recipes made with shiitake mushrooms for the attendees to taste. Pre-registration is recommended. For information or to register, call the University of Illinois Extension Office in Vermilion County at 442-8615 or visit the office at 3164 North Vermilion in Danville. You may also register online at http://web.extension.illinois.edu/cfiv/vermilionmg/3860.html. And the next brief has the headline, Recipes Sought. The Danville Symphony Orchestra is compiling recipes for a cookbook to celebrate its 50th anniversary. People should submit recipes by email to Cherry, C-H-E-R-I, Weller, 12, at gmail.com, or mvpartenheimer at gmail.com, or by mail to Danville Symphony Orchestra, Attention Cookbook Committee, 715 West Fairchild, Danville, Illinois, 61821. The book is expected to be published this summer and will be sold to raise funds to benefit the symphony's programs. And a musical scheduled. DLO Musical Theater will present the Tony-nominated musical Violet at 7 p.m. today, 6:30 p.m. Saturday, and 12:30 p.m. Sunday in Bremer Theater at Danville Area Community College. Today will be a dessert-only performance with dinner shows Saturday and Sunday. Tickets can be purchased at www.dlomusicaltheater.com or by calling the box office at 431-1660. Seating is limited, so early purchase is encouraged. This has been Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, February the 17th. I look forward to reading with you again soon.